Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Cozy Club, a warm hug and podcast forum for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. My name is Reagan.
And I'm Monica.
And in this episode, we're doing a good old-fashioned Q&A, but of course, updated to specifically fit our vibe here on this podcast, a cozy Q&A. That's yes. Right, Monica and I had a little question box over on our Instagram asking you guys for any cozy related questions, and we're gonna do our best to try to answer as many as we can today.
So excited. You guys sent in some really good questions that we're very excited to dive into. And just a quick reminder, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your listening platform of choice and leave us a review. It really helps us out. And if you haven't picked up our book club pick yet, you still have some time. And the book club pick is the Encyclopedia of Something to Do with Fairies. Let's look that up. And our book club pick is Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett, and we'll be discussing that in the last episode of our season, so you still have like a few days left to read that one. If you want to send over your thoughts via email to cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Yay, I'm so excited to chat all things fairy when we get to our podcast.
Absolutely.
So I think the format of this episode is going to be a little unstructured in the way that we're just going to kind of go back and forth and read various questions. Mm-hmm. And of course, if y'all have future questions for us, feel free to give us an email at cozycuppodcast@gmail.com with any cozy related needs you might have, as we will definitely keep those and perhaps feature them in a later episode. But Monica, do you want to kick us off with our first cozy cue?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one I have here, it's funny because obviously this is our spring season, but it's not spring for the entire world. So one question we have from Green Tea Pages is they're asking for cozy autumn reads, please. Australian weather is finally about to cool down. So
down under.
Yeah, down under. That really took me out. So what are some autumnal reads for those in the southern hemisphere who are going into autumn?
Ooh, I love a cozy autumn story. I feel like my instinct is always like gothic horror, but I'm also gothic horror isn't necessarily cozy to everyone, but there's just something about the ambiance of a haunted house that's absolutely in a gothic setting that just hits for me during the fall setting.
I agree. I feel that. So one of my recommendations, like, obviously I feel like autumn is sort of the time when you kind of want to get into like mystery, something a little bit spooky. Mm. And I love Jun Her. She just writes amazing Korean mysteries. Mm-hmm. And they're all set during the Joseon era in Korea. And they just like, they follow like really cool girls solving crimes and, And also like exploring this time period in Korea. And so those I think are a great pick for sort of a cooler, chiller time of year. Oh, another one I would recommend if you want maybe more a manga vibe is The Girl from the Other Side, which is a really popular manga. So maybe not the best recommendation, but it's just like this sort of, it's very dark in the style that it's done in. Like it feels very like autumnal, wintry, and it's about this girl who has been lost to the other side where all these like monsters roam, and then like all the people are now like in these like fortressed areas, and so she lives with a monster who takes care of her, and so it's like kind of spooky just like in the art style and the fact that it's this little girl who like lives with a monster, but the actual like story itself is very, for the most part, pretty wholesome. Like there are some like gory moments and like the fights between the humans and the monsters, but other than that, it's just this really wholesome story of this like monster taking care of his like child, and I love it.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so I have two, and they're both fairy tale leaning. So I feel like with any fairy tale story, it can definitely have like a bittersweet element, because a lot of fairy tales, when you kind of get to the core of them, be kind of dark. But I do feel like fairy tales are like such great ambiance. And I also just think of fall and winter, especially when I read them. So the first one I'd recommend is The Way Back by Gabrielle Savitt. This is set in Eastern Europe, specifically in the 1800s, and it's inspired by Jewish folklore and mythology. So it basically follows two kids that are basically taken to this place called the Far Country, which is where like demons and like all different types of mythical creatures sort of live, and they have to sort of venture through this place and make their way back, you know. But it's not so straightforward. It's really written in a very strange way, really capturing that sort of bizarre fairy tale fantastical feeling to it. It also leans really heavily into the nature aspect and the ambiance of kind of the chillier, crisper air. And I also personally just found it fascinating in terms of like the references it was making to Jewish folklore mythology. I don't know a lot about religious iconography of any religion, so I really love to read fairy tale-esque books because I feel like I also like learn so much, and I tend to look stuff up as I'm reading it to try to understand like the origin of some of these stories. So I just found it to be super interesting. It's kind of like,
I love that,
middle grade YA Neil Gaiman almost, I would say.
Yeah,
it's very vibey, you know. And then the other one is one I feel like I've talked about a lot, so I'll be very brief, which is called Nettle and Bone, another very short fairy tale story. Follows a girl trying to save her sister. Classic fairy tale. This one I would say is more cozy. It has a lot more sweet than bitter to it, and I just think it's like a really great fall read.
Two great recommendations. I definitely want to pick up that first one now.
I think you'd like it. It's very strange. You know what I mean? Like,
I love a weird fairy tale.
Everyone. Exactly. It's exactly. I think if you go with that mindset, you'll be perfect.
Amazing. So what is your question?
So I have a question. Someone was asking for some cozy K-dramas.
Ooh, okay.
Like, and I love it. One, I mean, we both love a K-drama. And I think this is interesting because in a way it's almost kind of hard in a way because I feel like K-dramas capture all the emotions. So there's always going to be something that's a little over the top. But I also think it's how the K-drama can approach those over the top emotional moments can still be cozy-esque. I think the K-drama that comes to mind that I just find so comforting, and I've now seen twice because Clay is also obsessed with this K-drama, and I actually watched it for the first time with you, Monica, is True Beauty.
Yes. I love that Clay's so obsessed with it.
He literally ranks everything against True Beauty. He's like, not as good as True Beauty.
That's so funny. I love that so much. The car crash scene.
You should have seen his face. He just loves the family dynamics of True Beauty and the sisters.
It's so good.
He just loved everything about it. So I love True Beauty because, one, I feel like it's like a perfect show that is leaning into all of the reasons why K-dramas are so great. Like, it's leaning into all of the tropes, all of the ridiculous things, and it's not running away from them. It's almost like celebrating it. And then also within that, it has just the most heartwarming coming of age story, again centering romance as you would expect in a K-drama, but also family. And they're such great side characters, and the side characters are also really fleshed out. There's just, it's just so wholesome, you know. But I guess I didn't really give a lot of synopsis. Basically follows a girl who is kind of like an ugly, she feels like she's an ugly duckling, and she's like very badly bullied at her high school. But her family moves to their like original house, I guess, after a financial situation they find themselves in. So she's about to start at a new high school. So she's like, I'm going to reinvent myself. Instead of being the girl who's known for loving horror and loving listening to metal music, I'm going to get really good at makeup and just become beautiful overnight. Basically, it's like Cinderella story. She's always obvious. The one thing Clay always is like, the only thing about True Beauty I don't like is that you're supposed to realistically believe this girl's not good looking the entire time. It's so ridiculous. Whatever. Anyway, so she gets really good at makeup and she becomes like a popular girl. But it's like, it's not just because she's like good at makeup. It's also because she's like, you know, bright and cheery and people love her personality, and like people are finally kind of seeing her for the first time, but also she's allowing herself to be seen for the first time. And there's romance, and there's like all of this, just a high school cute show, and it's like, to me, very cozy when I think about a K-drama because it checks all the boxes, I guess, you know.
No, I agree. It's such perfect like spring cozy vibes.
Oh, it's like I almost want to put it on right after this.
I know,
I love
me too.
That show.
It's so good.
I love it. It also has all the fun episodes, you know? It's just like an anime too. Like when you're watching a show it's obviously going to be a new show, but then there's those certain situations that it's always fun when they come up, you know, like the school camping trip or the school festival or the school sports festival, you know, and it's like provides, you know, or like if it's an office drama, there'll be like an office offsite episode and you're like, ooh, are my two characters going to get closer in this episode? You know, it's like all those things. What about you? Do you have one that you'd recommend?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like one that I don't talk about all the time. So the first one that comes to mind is that just feels like ultimate spring cozy vibes is Hello My 20s, which is like my all-time favorite Korean drama.
So good.
I just like, I love those girls so much. It's basically about these girls who are in college and they live together, and it like follows each of their individual plot lines and just like also their like friendship over time, like growing. And there are like some dark plot lines, like darker plot lines with some of them, but overall it's just like a story about friendship, and I just I love them so much.
So that is
definitely one. But then the other one I'd recommend is Cinderella and the Four Knights, which is what
you had me watch. That like it was one of my first K-dramas.
It's just such a fun like classic style K-drama. So it's one of those ones where it's like a girl who sort of like gets involved with this large group of guys who are like all friends, and multiple of them like are in love with her, but it also stars the like sister from Parasite,
a reverse harem.
Yes. Basically, and one of the men is like really grumpy, but he's like obviously the main love interest. And yeah, it just like it has all of those sort of like classic K-drama tropes, but I think it's like a more modern take on them, because like some of the ones that like I grew up on that are very much that style, like I probably wouldn't recommend in the year of our Lord 2023, but like still have a place in our heart. But like Cinderella and the Four Knights, it like does it, but it like does it in like a more modern way. And so yeah, I love that one. It's just so fun and cute, and
it's
and
really fun.
Just a
it's
good
addicting
time.
Too. It's a great
so
show.
Addicting.
Like, just turn your brain off. I'll recommend one more that I love. Unbelievably,
I know what it's gonna be. Oh, not what I thought it was gonna be.
Touch Your Heart. What? It's like not enough people have seen this show. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Well, wait, which one did you think I was gonna say?
The summer one.
Oh, Our Beloved Summer. That also is fantastic. If you haven't seen it, but Touch Your Heart to me is like a little cozier than that.
Got it.
It's just like pure, and it's romance, you know? And it's basically an office drama, and it stars the two actors who were in Goblin. Is that what it's called? Goblin. And it's those same actors that had the secondary romance in Goblin. So they got a rom-com.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yes. And they play similar style characters from Goblin, but they put it in an office setting. And so the setup seems like it's going to be this straightforward, kind of grumpy and sunshine, but it's more like awkward and shy and sunshine, which I think really adds like a much better twist. But basically there's this guy who is a lawyer. He's like very dedicated in his work. He's not like cruel, and I think initially you assume that he's like cruel or hard or grumpy, but no, he's just like very hardworking and like kind of quiet, so he just comes off very reserved and stern, but that's not necessarily the case. And then the other main character is this drama actress. She's this famous actress in Korea, and she had a scandal that wasn't her fault, so she's like trying to reboot her career. And she's always known for playing one type of role, but she's like wanting to she wants to kind of change her image. So she's trying to take on a more serious role of an actor as a lawyer. So she somehow convinces to be able to take on this like intern role in the law firm. So she becomes his assistant, and he's like not happy about it at all, because he thinks she's like flighty and stupid, whatever, initially. And so they have this like misunderstanding, but only like the first two episodes. And then slowly you begin to see them like build trust. It's just like the sweetest, slowest moving, most romantic and just soft rom-com. I was sobbing my eyes out.
Oh my gosh.
This show. Like, but it's because it's just like, I loved them so much. And I like loved it was just so sweet, and it was funny, and it just had so many things going for it, and it was just so endearing. So you gotta watch it if you haven't. It's on Netflix, so accessible.
I love that. All right, I'll have to add that to my list, because I do. I love Goblin, so
yes,
that sold me.
I think you'd love it, because it's that second romance. It is like the same sort of, well, a slightly different dynamic, but similar Grim Reaper-esque character. You know, like serious, but kind of aloof at the same time.
Yeah. I loved the Grim Reaper.
So good. Yes. You've got to watch Shut Your Heart. It's good. All right.
So my next question is how to find, it's basically an asking for advice question. It's how to find like-minded friends. And I think this is a question that people have a lot, like just as you get older, is like how to find friends in general and like tips you might have for like, finding friends as an adult, because it's hard out there.
It's hard out there. Do you want to start? I feel like you have
true. I think for me, my biggest recommendation is just to like obviously everyone has like interests, like that's the easiest way to like make friends is like through your interests. That's how we became friends. I actually got a lot of questions asking that, like how did you guys meet, which we did address in our very first episode. That's if you true. Want to go back and listen to that. But, and also it is contested because I have no recollection of how we met.
Jury's out. We don't know.
Jury's out. We just simply one day were friends.
And we have just existed since then.
Anyways, I genuinely, like, pretty much all of the friends that I have in my life right now, I've made because of some random interest, and half of them, I would say more than half of them, are because of just like spending time in online communities. Like literally my roommate, Kaylee, was like an old school YouTuber. We met on Twitter. I tweeted about moving to New York City and she was like, you want to move in together? Like however many years ago that was. And like that's how I met Kaylee. And like through her, I met more people and then met you online. And a lot of my friends that I have here in New York City, I met because I got real deep into the 1975 and camped outside and made friends like while camping for concerts. And yeah, so I think that that's the best advice I could give, is just like find, like if you can, like try to find people in your area who like have similar interests. And if there's any like community around that, like are there any local book clubs, local knitting clubs, local like whatever it might be. Or, like, you know, try and find people online, because that's how I find people is the easiest, is just spending a lot of time online, which maybe isn't the best life advice, but here we are.
Spend more time on Twitter. So my advice is more geared to, like, I guess the next step. As me, I have social anxiety, and, like, the thought of, like, the thought of trying to like bring quote unquote an acquaintance to that next step of like trying to foster a friendship is like so intimidating. You're nervous. It's like dating. You're basically asking someone on a friend date and you hope that you will be rejected, right? That they're going to like you and like they're not going to like shoo you away, you know? And since moving back to Austin, I knew some people here, but I would say my circle was pretty small. So I've been actively trying to like grow friendships. And it's really quite literally like dating. Like sometimes I'd show up in a social situation where I knew one person and I knew I'd only know one person, but there was going to be a lot of other people there that I had no idea who they were. And it was like a big pep talk. I'm like, don't be nervous, put yourself out there, use interests that you like, and then try to find people who have similar interests. And then, you know, get their number. Literally. Ask for their number. It's literally like dating. Ask for their number and then try to set up like, oh, me and my friend are going to go to a coffee shop or like a bookstore, or like bring it back to maybe a shared interest that you found out the night before, and then like ask them if they want to come. They might say no, they might say yes, but I have actually really, it's been hard because my natural instincts, I don't want to do this. I want to run and hide in my house. I don't want to talk to people, you know, but I've done this a few times with a few people that I am happy to say are like, we're friends now. And it's like, I'm so happy I put myself out there, and it's like really scary and hard, but it's just like, sometimes you have to make that first difficult step because they might be thinking the exact same thing, but are like too shy to do it too. So it's just like breaking that ice, and then, or like, you don't even have to ask for the number. Maybe follow them on Instagram and then you can, you know,
Instagram's a lot easier.
So if like the number thing's like too much, follow Instagram or something like that. And then they post Instagram stories. You can be like, LOL, love this. You know, you can slowly build up the rapport, and then you can like slide in and be like, oh, a friend that you, it's always nice to have like maybe a buffer with someone else that they might know, and invite them to do something really casual that's only an hour or two during the day, so it doesn't feel like a huge commitment. It's a good way to grow on that. That's my
advice. I love that.
Only because I've had to do it myself. A learning curve.
Yeah, it's hard putting yourself out there. It's scary.
It is scary, but worth it. Worth it, and everyone feels the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the most part, unless you're like magically just charismatic. And I also think there's like an element of not, like if you're kind of self-aware, which I feel like people who are chronically online tend to be self-aware, like you, it makes it hard because you're like so self-conscious of everything you say and like every interaction you have. But you can't let that stop you from like trying to connect IRL, you know? I have a question about recommendations for a cozy evening routine. I'm a big routine girly. Are you?
Yeah. I like to do a routine, but it's not a routine.
You know? Tell me about it.
Oh, actually tell you about it.
Yeah.
I wish I could be one of those people who's like, oh, every single night I do X, Y, Z. I don't. Mm-hmm. I wish I was, but I'm not. But when I do these certain things, it's always like, oh, yes, this is lovely. Yeah. I think probably the big one that I do try to do almost every night, though, is my skincare routine. And that's just like always the best feeling. Like, I just, I love slapping my face at the end of the day. Yeah. Like, putting on, there's just something so like therapeutic. I feel the same way about like doing your makeup or like getting dressed like in an exciting way. Like there is something so nice about like just kind of taking like that little bit of time to like pamper yourself. It's like, I don't know, that like ritual of it is like really quite nice. Yeah. So that's why like I gravitate, like, you know, I try to get products that I don't spend a ton of money. I try not to, but like I try to get products that I'm also like just excited to use on my skin and that like make me feel like excited for it, because like obviously it's, I want the value of like a good skincare routine, but I also want the like value of like just that nice feeling that it gives me.
Mm-hmm. It's like, is this $80 face cream going to make me look 28 forever? Maybe not, but I love putting it on.
Yeah.
I think too, like building your cozy routine is really just about identifying what makes you comfortable and happy. So like ultimately, like everyone's routine is going to be a little bit different. And then I think the hardest part is like scheduling. I'm a big planner, and I think part of why I feel like people might perceive that I have like a quote unquote very cozy lifestyle, you know, with my cozy blog or whatever, is one, you know, if you consider watching 3 hours of Vanderpump Rules cozy, then agreed, I have a very cozy lifestyle. It's more like I am someone who I like to have a plan for my evening, even if it's like a rough sketch. And like, that might not be cozy or like nice for other people, but I just like feeling like, okay, I'm going to finish work around 5:30. What are some things that would make me feel really nice for me to accomplish tonight? It doesn't have to be anything significant. It could be like, go on a walk, make a tasty meal. I have this in the fridge. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I really want to watch this show and I would love to play this game. And I feel like if I think about it in advance, I'm much more successful at doing it. And I have a really bad habit where if I feel like I've quote unquote like wasted it some time, like an evening, because I've just didn't really think about what it was I actually wanted to do, and now it's time to go to bed, I get so annoyed with myself. So that's part of why I plan. But I hate when I'm like, I've just spent 3 hours on my phone and I didn't do anything that I actually really enjoy, you know?
I know. I hate that feeling.
Yeah. I also think like spiritual.
I still do it though.
I do too. I definitely have nights where I'm like, what the hell did I just do? Because please don't look at my screen time. I also like to sprinkle in things that are like small things I just love, like, ooh, a new candle that's like seasonally appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
Or, ooh, I'm going to wash my favorite blanket while I'm working today, and then I'm going to pull it out of the dryer right when I finish work, and it's going to be all warm and smell incredible, and it's going to be perfect, you know, for like watching TV after work, or, you know, like stuff like that, like little things that just I know will make me happy, and try to sprinkle them in throughout the day or evening, rather.
Absolutely. kind of jumping off of that, I had a few questions that are similar to that, but they kind of wanted to know, like, how about, like, throughout the rest of the day? So not so much at night, but, like, what are some things, like, that you do throughout the day to, like, implement coziness into your daily life?
I feel like I need to be better at doing this, so I'm excited to hear your answer.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a morning and evening girl.
Fair. I think for me, probably the big one is journaling. I am the kind of person who does carry a fountain pen and a Moleskine in their bag with them at all times.
Is that how you say it?
Is it
Moleskine?
Is it Moleskine? Is it Moleskine? I don't know.
I don't know. I was thinking I think it's like so much nicer than Moleskine, because that's what I call
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, that there isn't a way to pronounce it, and that, like, the brand is, like, say however you want. I think what that thing was. Basically. Yeah. And I like Moleskine, so that's what I say. Anyways, I used to do a lot of, like, journaling content, like, on social media, and I think I kind of pulled back on that because it was becoming this thing. I mean, I like art journaling, but, like, and it was basically becoming more of, like, a scrapbook, and now the journaling that I do is, like, much more similar to, like, what I've done, you know, pre-YouTube, and, like, my whole life is just, like, pen, paper, and just, like, flowing out thoughts whenever I feel like it. And I feel like just doing that, I usually do it, like, I don't do it every day. I don't have, like, the pressure to do it every day. But, like, when I do it, it just, like, gives, like, instant relief for me and, like, release. Like, especially if I'm feeling anxious. And it's also just, like, I think the ritual of it, again, like, especially having, like, a fancy pen that I, like, bought fancy ink for in my fancy notebook. Like, there's something about that experience that also just, like, is very grounding for me for some reason. And so, yeah. And so I journal. And sometimes it's random thoughts that I'm having. Sometimes it's writing ideas. It could be whatever, but that's probably the big one for me. And also music, noise canceling, having noise canceling headphones. That's the other thing that has, like, changed my entire life, is just listening to music with noise canceling headphones.
Block out the world. I feel like for me, I guess I do have one. So I would say, I feel like I've definitely done a good job putting in good habits in the morning and in the evening. Like, I wake up early and I always tend to read before work, relax, unwind, hang out with Matilda, maybe go for a walk, like all those things before work. Yeah. And then work happens and I feel like I'm just chaotic. But but I do feel like near the tail end of the day, because I feel like I'm a big morning person, so I'll sometimes start work like 7:30 or 8 to finish sooner. That's just how I prefer to operate. Not everyone is like that. But by like 3:30, 4 p.m. I'm so tired. You know. So I always feel like I need a little treat. And I'm trying to not drink caffeine at 3:30 or 4 p.m. because I realize it made me feel like I was disassociating out of my body and I just feel like a little robot functioning around my house. So, but I loved the idea of a little beverage. So I've been making different types of teas a lot during the day in the afternoon. And I always tend to have a little chocolate moment. Yeah. And it's just delicious and I look forward to it. It's like my little snack time, you know?
Yeah. No, I love
that. It reminds me when I used to work in a corporate office pre-COVID. Reflecting back, we were like chickens in a pen. Like, they would bring this varietal of snacks and drop them off at 2 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays at one table. So we were like, watching, waiting for them to come. We all rush to the table. And then because you take a bunch and stuff them in your desk or throughout the week or whatever. It gives me that vibe, but without the competition. Speaking of music, I had a lot of questions about like cozy playlists, cozy reading playlists. But I also feel like you specifically, because I know you've always been really into music, but I feel like right now especially, you're like really thriving in the music moment with your noise canceling headphones. So just like cozy music vibes, hit us.
Yeah.
Hit us, Monica.
I mean, if anyone wants, I actually have a playlist that apparently has like popped off on Spotify. I didn't realize. It's like, for some reason, I didn't realize that I have a like not substantial, but I have like a following on Spotify for my playlist. And I didn't realize this until I started getting like a bunch of DMs from musicians asking me to add them to like random playlists that I didn't even realize were public.
Wait, you have to be honest. That was probably the biggest ego stroke.
It's oh, like, absolutely.
You have good music taste. You're like, wow, okay, I thought this playlist was fire. You know, it's like should I be a DJ?
Should I be a DJ? Yeah. But the one that I would recommend is I have this playlist called The Cozy Library, and it's my reading playlist, and it's all instrumental, but it's just like if you read, especially if you read like fantasy or more like atmospheric books, I feel like it's a good one for you. We'll link it in the show notes. But that's one that I listen to a lot when I'm reading, and I want like a cozy vibe. Other than that, I really love like a YouTube like ambiance video, like where it's fire crackling, like kind of thing, like spooky haunted house vibes, or like torrential downpour.
Yes, torrential downpour is good. I like, there's a cozy reading playlist I do listen to on Spotify, but I'm going to start listening to yours now, which I do like an instrumental moment sometimes, especially if I'm having a hard time focusing. But I
Oh, wait, like you can listen to like regular music when you're reading?
No. It's like all instrumental.
Oh, okay. I was like, that is a superpower.
I can also do that though, but I tend to
That's wild.
When I used to commute, I would do it all the time.
Wow.
Psycho, honestly, now thinking
that,
back.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could divide my attention in that way.
That's so impressive. Like, that's big brain energy.
But I feel like I'm single-handedly keeping the 4K crackling fireplace on with my views. I have that thing on 24/7. It'd be on right now if it wasn't such a loud crackle. It would disrupt the podcast. But it's just such good vibes. And the 4K is real. High quality. Mm. There's like a little instrumental, the pop. It's my favorite faux fireplace online. But there is also a calcifer.
Yes, the HBO one. Yeah.
Which is a great, change of pace every once in a while if you're wanting a little Miyazaki moment while you're reading.
I also have a cozy K-pop playlist that also, did that one also pop off? Let me see. How's that one doing?
K-pop? Wait, is it like Spring Day? But I just would sob listening to that.
Oh, yeah, this one's not as big. This one has like 200 some likes, but it's called Cozy K-Pop for When You Need a Hug. I'll link that in the show notes also. I haven't updated it in a while, but if you just want like some cozy K-pop chill vibes, like I just feel like K-pop, it's not all K-pop, it's like a lot of just like Korean like acoustic, some R&B songs in there, a lot of IU because she is just the queen. Yes. And then I've just also been listening to like when I just want to like drown out the world and like kind of feel like I'm floating, I love the album Loveless by My Bloody Valentine's, one of my all-time favorite albums. And the best way to describe it is that if you took a pop album and listened to it while you're like drowning or like not drowning but like the sound of it, it's like it's distorted, so like the like it's like when you
so
if
drowning,
you think about
but not,
when
about the terror
yeah think about like when you're swimming or you're taking a bath and you like go underwater and the way that the rest of the world sounds when you're underwater is like that's kind of the vibe of My Bloody Valentine and this album in particular. And it's a big one that I've been listening to a lot because it's like probably the main like atmosphere inspo for one of the stories that I'm currently writing. But it's just like that album, especially like when you're in a car and you're listening to that album, it's just unparalleled. It's so good. And for me, like, that's probably my current, like, number one. Like, I just want to feel like I'm floating and in another world. Like, I listen to the album and it's so good.
I feel like all my albums are either sad or, like...
That could be cozy.
Or bops. I guess if you, like, want a good cry. let me see. Let me look at my Spotify. So I guess cozy albums for me, I mean, you could say... Oh, you know what's to me is like a really good album? Indigo by RM.
Yes. RM, like, feels, his music.
Yeah, it just feels like some of his music just feels like music I'd want to listen to when I'm on like a bicycle ride or like sitting in a coffee shop. It just, it's like it has this, his stuff can be like really emotional too. Like it is emotional, but it also is like life at the same time. So it feels like very settled in, faded, like Indigo Blue Jeans perhaps.
Yeah.
So I really like that album. And then I also listened to a lot of Rit Momney.
Yeah.
He had a song go viral on TikTok, I think in 2020, but I was a pre-2020 listener. I was a real hipster. But it just has this like electronica pop R&B. I don't even know. I'm really bad at genres. But it just feels really easy to listen to. And I would listen to it a lot while I was working, especially like doing tasks. And I just felt like it was like a great mental flow album for me because I loved aesthetically how it sounded. I found his vocal style to be really relaxing and like helped me focus a lot. And I listened to that album so much. It's like kind of embarrassing. So I think those are the two albums that kind of come to mind, like for cozy vibes, I suppose.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I got a question similar, also about music. This one's maybe a little bit of a selfish question choice, but I mean, we both love them. So it's, I'm a recent The 1975 fangirl. So is there such thing as a cozy The 1975 song? And boy, are there.
I feel like the rambly ones are my favorite.
Yeah. Cozy The like flow of thought. What's it called?
Yeah.
Like free flowing thought ones.
My immediate response, like, you're like ringing cozy 1975 song. And I don't know as much as you. So you probably have a dissertation. So I'm just going to throw in a quick answer. Birthday party. That's my response.
It's an amazing one.
Isn't it kind of vibey, you know?
Yeah. I love he like talks about how at least on every album, there's at least one song where it's just supposed to sound like he like took the words right out of his journal.
Yeah.
And like that's the one for that, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Playing on My Mind is another great one in that same vein. Mm-hmm. The one that I would recommend is the song, which I think is one of their most underrated songs, and it's called Mine. And it is from A Brief Inquiry, I believe. And the whole point of the song is that like it was inspired by Coltrane, or like what if there was a new Gershwin song? And so it has this very like old timey vibe to it, and it just like is so comforting and cozy to listen to. And the lyrics are very sad, as like most 75 songs are, but it's just like, I just like love this, like the sound of it. It just has that sort of like old school feel that I think makes it sound just like really cozy and lovely. And it's so underrated. And I think it's like one of their like best songs. So definitely that. And then I love, like, obviously I love the lyrics, but like, the thing that I love about the 75 so much is George Daniels' production, which I just think is like unlike anything that any other like band musician is doing right now. And so one of my favorites is the song Please Be Naked off of I Like It When You Sleep, which is their second album. I love all of his instrumental songs though. So they do a lot of like, on most albums, they'll have a few like ambient tracks, not so much on the most recent album, but they'll do like these ambient tracks, and like, they just make me feel like I'm floating again. Like, I love that sort of feeling when you're listening to music, and he just does that so well. So like Please Be Naked is a great one. Lost My Head is another one. That one does have lyrics, but I love all of those songs. So those would be my recommendations, but also I have a whole playlist I can link down below.
This is just an episode to give a shout out to Monica's various Spotify playlists. Genuinely. Career change because he's DJ now. Okay, so my last question I'll bring to the table is lots of questions for Cozy Game Rec. Some people were like, I'm addicted to Disney Dreamlight Valley. Do we have anything else? Which I can deeply relate to. I am currently so deep into Disney Dreamlight Valley right now. I cannot stop playing it. But just in general, any Cozy Game Recs. I know we have a whole episode about it, so we can just kind of keep it brief with any new ones. But I don't know if I have a solution to the Disney Dreamlight thing, because I'm also searching for that solution. Maybe Stardew. Cody and I started doing a co-op farm for Stardew Valley. We play like every night before we go to bed, basically.
I love that.
And it's so wholesome and it's so fun. And I just feel like Stardew Valley's day pacing is like perfect, you know? Like I always struggled with Animal Crossing, because the day is real time, basically. So it's like, I either feel, sometimes I feel like there's not enough to do, or there's like, wait, I have to wait so long to do more things if I'm playing it, you know, truthfully, which I feel like it's hard for me to stick to it. Versus Stardew Valley's like day length is so nice, because I feel like I have enough time to get stuff done, but I have to go home and go to sleep, and then I can wake up, have a whole nother day. My crops are growing. Like, it doesn't, I just feel like it's paced so nicely and like in such a relaxing way, you know?
Fair. That's what I feel. So one of the games that I like to recommend a lot when people ask for a cozy game recs is this game called Ni No Kuni, which has, I think, just got a new game recently. I haven't played it yet, so I can't recommend that one, but I do have the original and I love it. It's made by, the animations, I believe, are made by Studio Ghibli. So like, it's actually like, it very much feels like when they do all the cutscenes, like it feels like a Ghibli film. And I would say the best comparison I could give is like Zelda meets Pokemon, not as advanced as those games are, though. I feel like that maybe oversells it a little bit. But if you kind of like those vibes, if you want something that's like quest based, but like with the like sort of animals, or like beasts or whatever, then you'd probably like Ni No Kuni. And if you are just there to like follow along with the story, I think you'd also like Ni No Kuni, because I play on easy mode and it's a great time. That's, I always play on easy mode.
You can make any game cozy by just playing story mode or easy mode. I recommended a game, Moonlighter, on my TikTok recently. People were like, that's not cozy, it's so hard. I'm like, yeah, if we're playing on hard, it's hard. I'm playing on easy. Yeah. I'm just going around collecting things. It's an eco-management game. But you playing on easy.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair game. I mean, like, I've made the, back in, like, a few years ago, when I was still doing like Twitch streaming, I would stream Dead by Daylight on my like cozy Twitch stream, because here's the thing, is there, even though like it's gory, there is something so cozy about playing Dead by Daylight, but only if you're playing with friends is the thing. Yeah. Like, if you're playing it alone, no, but if you're playing it with friends and you're all just like yelling at each other and like running around together and having a good time, like, it's so fun. And especially if you get like a killer who's like fun. So like Dead by Daylight is literally like, it's, you get matched with people and there's some stranger who plays as a killer and they're like chasing you down and like trying to kill you by the end of the game. And it's all based around like horror stuff. And I can't watch horror anything. I can't watch, can't read other than like gothic stuff. Not for me. But Dead by Daylight's like so fun if you just like have the right group of people. And again, if you get like a good killer who's like kind of wholesome about it and like is just nice and not mean, it's a good time. Yeah. So I think anything, if you have the right mindset, really anything can be cozy. I am interested if eventually, because I do think like cozy over the past like 4 years, like cozy gaming has become such like a thing. I do think eventually, like in the same way that like cozy fantasy, cozy mystery is like a specific genre, and has its own like, has its own like monikers of like what it means. I think that eventually cozy gaming is going to have like a like a similar thing where like there are monikers of like, okay, this is what is a moniker of this genre.
I think the difference in like what frustrates me sometimes in the gaming community is like, okay, there's cozy fantasy, there's cozy mysteries, there's cozy romance. Like, it's already like within a subgenre, versus like cozy gaming has no subgenre. So some people will be like, well, that's an RPG, it can't be cozy. I'm like, why can't there be a cozy RPG? A cozy life sim? You know what I mean? It's like, in the same way that there's multiple genres of something, like, it's just a cozy version of whatever that genre is, you know?
Yeah. My thing, my whole, I usually am like, would wholesome games feature this? And if so, then yeah, it's a cozy game.
Yeah.
That's kind of where, I'm, like, where I'm at. But I do think, like, eventually, like, that subgenre is going to get more defined.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it needs to be more defined. I just think it's like, it can't only be talking sims or story-based games. Like, any, like, as long as it fits within the parameters, I just, I guess people are like, if it has an RPG element, like, it can't be cozy. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, everything can be like a cozy version of a genre if it was made with the intention to be cozy, you know? But I don't know. It's just hard because it's like, whereas in book genres, they have all these subgenres, so it's like easier, I feel like, to categorize things, versus in games, it's just like cozy games is like almost like a separate genre, like an RPG is like a separate genre, or like You know what I mean? Versus it's more of an umbrella term that I feel like could like arc over lots of different types of games, but done in a specific way.
Well, I mean, games can have like multiple, be part of like multiple genres too. And yeah, I think that like, true. I think that that's what'll just happen eventually in the future.
That's a good point.
Well, on that note, we had a lot of fun answering all of your questions. Yes. Sorry if we didn't get to everybody, but we'll definitely want to do this again, maybe in our winter. Maybe we could do it like every other season or something, like Q&A episode, to answer any like burning questions or requests or whatever. But if you do have, like Reagan mentioned earlier, if you do have any requests or questions, feel free to email us. We might use it for Q&A, or, you know, maybe we'll be inspired by it and we'll use it for a future of like full episode, who knows. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening in, and stay cozy.
Bye.